Good to be with you this morning. Good to have you here with us. And we have a lot of folks visiting with us today. And in one way, I kind of feel a little bit bad about what we're going to talk about this morning because some of you, some of you I've never met before, and so this may be the first time you've been at church in a long time, and you go, there they go again. Every time I go to church, they talk about money. Well, I assure you that, that's not what we talk about all the time here. In fact, I don't even remember when the last time that I did a sermon on giving was. It's been a while. So if you're one of our visitors here with us this morning, please understand that it's not something we talk about all the time, but at the same time, it is something that we do need to talk about, okay? Because it is something that God wants us to know about His will when it comes to our giving. And just like everything else that affects our lives and the way that we live from day to day, giving is an important part of what God expects from us in our relationship with Him. And so we can be doing a whole lot of other things right, but if our giving isn't right, then we're not doing what God wants us to be doing. So, sometimes it's where, we don't like to talk about that. It's like, you don't talk about money and you don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. Those are the three things that you're just not supposed to talk about if you want to keep friends, right? Well, here we talk a lot about religion, okay? But not necessarily religion, but more relationship with God, okay? And we don't do a whole lot of talking about politics, but we do need to talk about money, okay? Because that is something that God wants us to be right with Him about. And let me, as we start out with this and talking about money and giving, really, is what we're talking about this morning. There's some things that we have to understand, just basic fundamentally, before we really get into looking at some things that the Scriptures have to tell us about giving. And that has to do with, what are we, and, as a church family, what is our concept and what is our mindset about contributing to the Lord. Okay. One of the reasons why we need to talk about this particular topic today is because we're having a problem, quite frankly, with our budget. Okay. We're not meeting our budget, and that creates problems. Budget is one of those things that you put together and you say, boy, if we had, this much money, on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or a yearly basis, we'd be able to do all of these different things. Well, the fact of the matter is, the budget that we have, which is $3,000 a week, we haven't met that budget in a couple of years. Is that right, Tom? I mean, occasionally, a week here and a week there throughout the year, we meet, that. Sometimes we even have more of that. But the average amount that we collect in our contribution over the year, and it's been this way for the last several years, is somewhere right around $2,500. So roughly about $500, less than what we budgeted. Now, what that really basically means is that there are certain things that we plan to do during the year that we're not able to do because we don't have the money to do it, you see? And so it's like we end up having to cut certain things out and say, well, we'd like to be able to do this, but we can't because the budget just won't support it. We've got other things that we've got to prioritize and so forth. And that's our situation right now. Another important reason that I wanted to talk about this today at this particular time is because of what's getting ready to happen this week, okay? I don't know if you realize it or not, some of you might be living under a rock, I don't know, okay? But if you are, you don't realize that this week is Thanksgiving week, right? Is this Thursday, y'all know that, right? Some of you are looking at me with blank stares. Okay, just so to inform you, okay? Thursday is Thanksgiving, and then Friday is what? Thank you. Black Friday, which means what? It's the shopping season, right? Where everybody goes crazy and we all got to go out and spend all the money we can to buy gifts for everybody for Christmas time, right? Right? Yeah, that's what typically happens. And the stores and the advertisers, they're already geared up. There's pre-Black Friday sales going on. Okay? I know some of you are going, I wish you'd hurry up and shut up so I can get to them today. Right? You see? Because our mindset that we have that really kind of goes, you know, from here on, it starts kicking into high gear. And what we begin to think about and focus on is all the stuff. Y'all know how what I mean by that, right? It's all the stuff that we have to get for Christmas for everybody, right? And of course, in there along that line too, we're kind of looking and thinking about all the stuff that maybe we're going to get from others, right? And so when it comes to our financial thinking, right now, that's a big focus for a lot of folks, isn't it? And then when you look at the state of the economy, you throw that in there, okay? You say, well, you know, there's a lot of people don't have jobs even. People that are working less hours because of this, you know, my company's not, you know, paying as much. And all these things, there's financial problems that are going on with a lot of folks. You know, that plays into part. So then when you mix both of those two factors together, sometimes what happens is this. You got Black Friday coming and the holidays and all the stuff I got to get, but my pay isn't as much as what I'd hoped it was going to be, or I'm very limited, and so I got to kind of look at, and I've got to be very careful about where I'm spending my money. Right? Makes sense, right? Okay. Unfortunately, what happens a lot of times at this particular time of the year is we place the stuff that we need to get above our responsibility and our giving that God calls upon us to do, and we lose sight of that. You see? And so, whether you're a visitor here or whether you're a member here, I hope that you'll listen to what I have to say this morning from the perspective that says, I want to make sure that what I'm doing when it comes to my financial situation and my giving in particular is what God wants me to be doing. That I put my priorities where they need to be. Okay? So let's take a look at a couple of things from the Scriptures about our giving. We start off, and I want to encourage you to turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians Chapter 8 is where we're going to begin this morning. And what I want you to think about in this first part is that we need to look at our giving. And again, it's so often we look at, oh, they go again talking about getting money and money, money. But what we need to do is to look at our giving and understand our giving as worship. Okay? And unless and until we do that, then we're not going to have the right frame of mind to begin with when it comes to whatever it is we give, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. So we have to start off with the understanding that giving is worship to God. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in his second letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth, beginning in chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. He says, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints." And look at verse 5. "And they did not do so as we expected, but they gave themselves first," you see it here? "First to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will." you notice what Paul is pointing out about the generosity of these churches. Where did it come from? You see? Notice that he points out here, their financial giving came first and foremost from their relationship with God. You see? That was the starting point for them. And what needs to happen is that we need to put our hope in God and focus on our relationship with God. And from there, then that is what helps to determine and establish our willingness to give. Because it truly is about our relationship with Him. Look at how he describes what the atmosphere that these brethren gave from. Okay? He says, first of all, their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Wow. Well, so much for that economic crisis that we're in, right? You know? And we can all, you know, look at the situation and say, well, but man, look at the situation and we just don't have any money and so on and so forth. These folks gave, he says, out of their extreme poverty. See? Out of their extreme poverty. They gave as much as they were able, he says, and then even beyond their ability. Wait a minute. How do you give more than what you have? Isn't that what he's saying? They gave as much as they were able and then even beyond their ability. How did they do that? Well, he says because what? They gave from their heart. You see? They gave it first from their heart. You see, the difference is this. You know, anybody can put some money in a collection basket. Anybody can make a contribution. And the amount is irrelevant if it's not coming from the heart. You see? And so, yeah, if you only have a little bit to give, you're giving out of your extreme poverty. If you're giving it from your heart, then you're giving a whole lot more. You see? That's what he's talking about here. And that's the attitude that these brethren had in these Macedonian churches. And it all, again, stems from their relationship that they had with God. You know, again, I started out this morning and just kind of giving that warning, you know, about we're going to talk about giving, and people are like, oh, man, here we go again. Because that's typically how we tend to look at this whole idea and topic of giving, isn't it? But notice the difference that these folks had. You see? Look at what he says here. They pleaded for the privilege to participate in this. They pleaded for the privilege to give. Wow. What a contrast to that whole idea that we oftentimes have of just talking about our giving and how uncomfortable it is for us to preach about it and to have to listen to it. When they pleaded for the privilege to be able to give, what do you suppose would happen in the churches everywhere if all of us had that kind of an attitude where we pleaded for the privilege to be able to give to the Lord? You see? And then the last thing that he says here that really brings it all together is that what did they give first? It wasn't the issue of the money. He says they gave themselves first to the Lord. See? And again, a big contrast between, you know, just putting some money in a collection basket or making a donation to this place or that place or what have you, but giving yourself first to the Lord. Because what that does is it sets up not just the relationship, but it sets up our whole attitude about our giving. Okay? And that's how Paul describes the giving of the folks in these churches for the need that was there at hand. Well, then there's another aspect of this idea of giving that we have to consider. Okay? And now again, you know, we're at this holiday season, and you know, where we give gifts to one another and we get gifts back from one another. And everybody likes that, right? 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 We see that? We like that, don't we? You know, the giving of gifts and the getting of gifts back, you see, and so forth. Well, when we smile like that and we're giving gifts and we're getting them back, what does that typically indicate? Happiness, right, you see? Which kind of is that whole idea of being and giving cheerfully? See? And that's kind of what James was talking about this morning when we were doing our collection, the contribution this morning. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see? A cheerful giver. So here's a couple of principles, again, that we have to keep in mind here. And one of the things that he brings up here at the very beginning of this is this whole idea of sowing and reaping, right? And there are, I don't know if you realize this or not, I've talked about this at times before, but some of you have never heard this, so I'm going to tell it to you again, all right? You don't have to pay anything extra for this morning, all right? It has to do with what we refer to as three laws of sowing and reaping, okay? There are three laws when it comes to sowing and reaping that exist. The first law is you reap what you sow. Okay? Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Okay? You think about planting a garden, and you go out there and you plant some corn, okay, in your garden, then what is it that you expect to get out of your garden? Tomatoes, right? No. You expect to get corn. You plant corn, that's what you expect to get. That's why you planted it, right? Okay? Because of that law, you reap what you sow. The second law is you reap more than what you sow. Okay? You put some kernels of corn or a few tomato seeds in the ground, and you don't expect to get just one ear of corn out of the ground, do you? You expect to get stalks that have lots of ears of corn on them, or a plant that has lots of tomatoes from those couple of tomato seeds. That's the second law. You reap more than what you sow. And the third law is you reap later than what you sow. See, again, you plant the seed in the ground and you don't just stand there and watch. You go, come on, come on, come on, come on. Why is it not growing? Because you understand the principle that says it takes time for those things to grow. So the third law, you reap later than what you sow. Well, those laws, those three laws of sowing and reaping, come into play in terms of our giving also. You reap what you sow. You reap more than what you sow, and you reap later than what you sow. And the principles there and the understanding is that God promises to take care of us, you see, to bless us if we honor Him in our giving. Now, when I say that, please don't misunderstand me. This is not one of those, you know, health and wealth gospel things here. Boy, if I give all my money to God, He's going to make me healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? No, that's not a promise from the Bible. When you hear preachers on TV talk about that all the time, well, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie. Okay? That's a lie. Because that's not what it's all about. In fact, the principle that the Bible teaches is that God gives us blessings so that in turn we can bless other people with the blessings He gives us. You see? That's really what it's all about. It's not about, you know, hey, if I donate my beat-up old Honda to somebody and give it to the people that really need it, then God's going to give me a brand-new Cadillac. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. That's not what it's about, because we're focusing on, somebody help me out here, stuff. You see? We're focusing on stuff. And we need to be focusing our lives on service to God. You see? God allows us to use, and by the way, I'm convinced it's all His stuff anyway. He just lets us use it. Amen? Okay? It's His stuff. He allows us to use His stuff while we're here. He gives us what we need, and He blesses us with those things, you see? But look at what Paul is giving us here in this information here, that we need to be giving where? From the heart. You see? Cheerfully it's got to be given. You see? We continue reading on here a little bit further and look at what he says here. Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you..." What does it say there? "All that you need." Okay? Not all you want. "All that you need," okay, "you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich," listen to this, verse 11, "you will be made rich in every way so that you can store it all up for yourself and be happy," right? Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Look at what he says here. "So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Wow. God gives us, as I said a moment ago, He blesses us with the stuff so that we can bless other people's lives in turn with those blessings that He gives to us. Okay? That's what a large part of giving is all about. "He who supplies your needs will greatly increase your supply." See, that's based on what? It's based on our giving from the heart. See, having the right attitude of our giving. Your supply is increased so you can give more. See, to others. And your giving results in thanksgiving to God. See? If it doesn't, then there's something wrong here with our giving, isn't it? Right. And then finally, we need to look at this idea of giving as we have been prospered. What does that really mean? Give as you have been prospered. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in the text that was read for us as we began this morning. Okay? Chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. "Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." In keeping with our income. What does that mean? Well, first of all, what it means biblically is the whole issue of the tithe that was required under the law of Moses, it doesn't apply anymore. Okay? And when you go back over to what we just saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 here, that we are to give from the heart, right? That's what's over there. So the tithe, that whole issue of a 10%, that's not law anymore. I want to suggest to you it's a minimum. Okay? All right? But it's got to be from the heart, whatever it is we give. You see? And he says, in keeping with your income. So in other words, look at your income that you have and say, okay, based on what my income is, I need to give according to that. Well, how much then, Russ? Well, what's your heart telling you need to give? And I kind of look at it this way. if 10% was the standard, that was the law that God required of the Israelite people under the old law of Moses, okay, should we give to God any less today than what He required then? It's just a question to think about as you're trying to figure out, okay, you know, what do I do here, okay? How do I figure how much and so forth? Well, I've got a different way to think about that, and I want you to really think about this hard. What if God turned that whole thing around? Okay? In other words, what if God gave you an income based on what you give? And what if you just use that 10% figure, that tithe amount? How much income would you have? How much would you have coming in if God gave to you, you see, based on what you are giving to Him? You see, He calls upon us to give to Him, you see, based on our income. How do I figure out, well, how much should I be giving to God from my heart? Well, like I say, you want to try to figure it out, just figure, turn it around on that and ask it that way. What if God were giving me an income based on how much I'm willing to give to Him? And would that change, you know, where we sometimes, you know, we pull out our wallet when the collection basket's getting to come across, we go, I got 100 in there, I got a 10, I got a 5, great! Put that in the basket, I'm not going to miss that as much. You know? Would it affect how much we stop and think about beforehand how much we're giving to the Lord? If He based our income on how much we give back to Him. Just something to think about, isn't it? See? It is a time of giving. You know, as I said before, you know, Black Friday is coming up the end of this week, and the sales on the computer are already started. So there is lots and lots of opportunity for us to go out and spend our money to buy stuff. And I'm not suggesting in any way that it's wrong for us to do that. But what I am suggesting is that before we do that, we really need to check our heart and our attitude towards our giving and our relationship with God first and where all that stands. Because otherwise, what we're going to find ourselves doing is things like, oh man, I need to get this gift for so-and-so, but if I give this much to the Lord in the collection, I'm not going to have enough to get this. And then what's happening? You see? When we turn that whole thing around and we realize we've got a responsibility to give first to the Lord, just like those brethren in the Macedonian churches, we give ourselves first to the Lord. We take care of that first. And God will bless us with what He wants us to have. So just something for you to think about and consider, especially as this holiday season is upon us and how much we are giving and who we're giving to and what we're giving for. My call to you and challenge to you is give first of yourself to the Lord. You say, and let Him bless you with what He wants to bless you with. All right? We're going to stand in just a moment and sing what we refer to as an invitation song. And we call it that because it's an opportunity and anyone is invited to, if you have something that's going on in your life, maybe it's some kind of struggles that you're having in your life. Maybe it's a battle that you're doing with Satan over something and you need some help and some prayers, some guidance, instruction. Maybe it's just you need some forgiveness. We provide that opportunity for you to come and be able to say, hey, I need some help with this. And so that opportunity is provided, and we invite you to come and do that. There may be somebody here this morning who's not a Christian yet. You haven't given your life to Christ. And we provide that opportunity also, that if you're ready to give your life to Christ, you believe that Jesus is Lord and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as such this morning. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment. And we have that invitation open also. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up front and talk with me about that. And our brother Ted will be in the back. If someone would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him in the back, then he'll be back there to receive you. The Lord's invitation is open to you. Let's stand together and sing.